It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
It's time for quarter number two of the Keystone Kickoff Show. Quarter number two is brought to you by GoPSURV.com, and maybe you didn't win the free RV for the blue-white game. All is not lost, Bob. All is not lost. There's still some great prices for the blue-white game, starting at just $350. That's for the whole weekend. Show up Friday, stay through Sunday, some great 409 tailgate food. Mm-hmm. Contact Mark, our buddy over there at GoPSURV.com, 800-519-8467, and you can get one of these great deals. All right. Quarter number two, we're going to look at some storylines for the second half of spring practice. Where do you want to start?
Yeah, and I think we touched on a couple. We kind of alluded to a couple there in quarter number one. But, you know, I'll tell you one that is very interesting to me, because I think it's a position that really you just don't know what you can expect after KJ Hamler. And it's the wideout group. They got a new position coach, Jared Parker, who played, I think, receiver in the SEC. Obviously, David Corley did not work out. And James was asked about how the transition is going with Parker. And he said, I thought it was telling that he said, first thing he said he liked about him is he's aggressive coach. And to me, that means he is not afraid to tough love coach a kid and maybe get in their face a little bit if he doesn't feel like they're doing what needs to be done. And I just wonder for him to say aggressive if maybe that was absent last year. In other words, you can be somebody's buddy and you can just try and be really positive, but sometimes they have to hear what they don't want to hear to be better. And I think that this might be a guy that does that. I think to me it's pretty clear that KJ and Jahan Dotson are going to be just huge parts of the offense. But who would the third wideout be if the season were going to start, you know, in 2 weeks? Who would that be? I'm not sure who that is. I don't hear a lot of talk about Justin Shorter separating himself from maybe Daniel George. I know that Mac Hippenhammer is a guy they like, but I believe he's concentrating on baseball. There's some other players as well. I believe there is a Florida State transfer coming in at some point, yes, if everything goes according to plan later. But they need, you know, it's great that Pat Freiermuth came on, especially in the second half of the year, but they still need another wideout, preferably a big wideout, to take some of the if opposing defenses know that all they got to really worry about is KJ Hamler, it really doesn't free KJ Hamler up to be the explosive player that he can be. But if they have to respect somebody on the outside, if somebody can produce, you know, like Chris Godwin did a couple of years ago, that I think really changes the field for Penn State and the offense. And I think that really hurt them last year. The inconsistency and the health of Juwan, who's now at Oregon, and DeAndre Tompkins just really was not the same player he was. It's great that he ran a 4.33. Like, that's great, but you just never really – where was that? You never saw that really put into play during the season. So, to me, I think they got to identify or feel good about a third wideout in their spread.
And – when you use the description as aggressive for the coach, my first thought is aggressive means you're willing to go over the top.
Yeah.
Let's use some of this speed.
Mm-hmm.
And I also like the two names you brought up, Shorter and George. They both – Shorter, definitely. He's 6'4", 230, something like that.
Yeah.
And George is pretty big also. It'd be nice to have a bigger receiver. And I know – was it in December that Trace was talking about Shorter?
Shorter and Rashid Walker were the two guys he said that really, really stood out when they gave more time to the younger players. So James didn't say this, but KJ Hamler hinted that, I hate to say it, but Justin Shorter's been a little banged up, I guess, in spring. And he said, and KJ's made it sound like he's fighting through some things right now, but he's doing a good job. He was hurt. Remember we talked about it. I think he had a kneecap issue early in camp last year that really put his season, you know, on, you know, it really just did not allow him to do anything almost to the final month of this season. It really limited him. And I think that they want him to be healthy for this August.
And especially when you're a young player just trying to establish yourself, health is even more important. Yeah. And speaking of which, that's my segue to talk about Shane Simmons.
Yeah. I don't think that he is 100% this spring either. When we looked at the first team defense on Wednesday, I believe it was Shaka Tony at end with Etor, with Shelton inside with Robert Windsor. Shaka Tony has done – I don't know that there's ever been a player get four sacks in one quarter in Penn State history. It shows you what he can do. And if you remember 2 years ago at Northwestern, he was very disruptive. But those are really just flashes. We haven't seen him put it together for even for a stretch of consecutive games. He's you know, they listed him at 236 coming out of winter conditioning, so he actually lost some weight. I just think that he can't be a defensive end that's going to play 40 or 50 snaps. I don't think it's in Penn State's best interest. I think they got to get a couple other defensive ends involved. Jason Awe is obviously a guy that they think can really help them this year. I wonder about a guy like Nick Tarburton, but I just think that in a way that less of Shaka is going to be more valuable for Penn State in the fall because of what he can do, especially in specific situations. But you have to say Shane Simmons, just, you know, we're still talking about waiting to see the player we thought he was going to be. And now he's in his fourth year. He leaves the redshirt junior. I mean, the sand's running out of the hourglass on him as well.
And again, it comes down to health. Again, using the conversation we had with Tommy Stevens earlier, if you're Trace McSorley and a three-year starter and you're banged up a little bit in the spring, hey, just sit it out. Don't worry. You have nothing to prove when you're a young guy trying to establish yourself.
And yeah, I was just going to say, just real quick, and I don't know the particulars of what Shane Simmons has been dealing with the last couple of years, but I will say the coaches, especially with James Franklin, they are looking for players who know the difference between being injured and being and hurt. You know what I mean? Sometimes you need to play through some nagging things. And I just don't know that everyone sees it the same way that the coaching staff does.
All right. Well, let's go back to our favorite topic again, outside of the transfer portal, which is quarterback.
Gotta
and what we're going to do. And I'll do it real
go
quick.
Ahead.
Here's why. Two quarterback. You think of Clifford pass first, run second, Tommy run first, pass second. So there's differences. You could actually play them strategically.
Yeah.
Although I think Sean is underrated as a runner, Tommy underrated as a passer. But there's no doubt if you see Tommy, what you're going to see, you're going to see him run the ball.
Sure.
So strategically, plus if you can't count on Tommy Stevens to be healthy, wouldn't you like it to know if you are going to have a major injury, here's a guy who's been had playing time? So that's my argument for it. Shoot me down.
So you want them on the field at the same time?
No. Depending on different series, you know, how we have to, depending on who they're playing against, what you need. There's some teams probably Tommy Stevens could just bull his way through, and that's what you're looking for. Maybe at the goal line, that's what you want Tommy
for. I think that's the better scenario, is maybe he is the guy, especially in the red zone when it's third and one. I think the field's constricted. I think he's a more of a threat to make that yard than Sean Clifford is. I could see that. I can agree with that.
All right. So when you see that in the fall,
you're welcome.
It means Coach Franklin's been listening to our show. All right. Let's move on. We talked a bit about the defensive backs and that Lamont was running with the first team. It always seems at defensive back, and I don't want to steal our thunder for the fourth quarter, but there always seems to be a veteran who steps up among the defensive backs every year.
Yeah. Well, almost by default this year, you would think, I don't know that I would consider a Lamont to be a veteran just yet, because usually it's a fourth or fifth year player. But I mean, and Garrett Taylor's already proved it. I think that Garrett Taylor is going to play. I don't know that Garrett Taylor is coming off the field if he's healthy in the fall.
He showed some signs late last season.
Yeah,
I think it was the bowl game even.
And to be fair, he got better in the second half, and he hadn't really played safety before. They moved him from corner. It's a different position. You have not heard a lot about Donovan Johnson. I'm a little curious. I'm wondering if he is not 100% healthy, because I think he is a guy that is a top three corner for them. Castro Fields and Reed have to stay healthy. But in that little star package 4-2-5, I think that there'll be some times when Penn State has a third corner on the field, and on sometimes it'll be maybe a safety. So some of these guys need to be healthy to be in the consideration for that position. I think Sutherland is a guy that I think is definitely – I think that he is definitely in the mix. And you just wonder, they keep talking about John Patrician and then the talking stops. So I don't know what's going on, but there's a lot of guys that they would like to play. But it just seems like the last couple of years, if you look at the way the games play out, they don't necessarily – they substitute at corner. They don't substitute a lot at safety.
Well – we often forget about the JUCO kids who are coming in.
Brisker.
I think they're bringing them in for a reason.
Let's hope so.
So he's not on campus yet. So you got to consider him as a factor here.
And let's not forget about the State College High kid.
Keaton Ellis.
I think they like him a lot. I think he's gonna. If he stays healthy, he's gonna have a very nice career at Penn State.
Well, the other thing with Ellis that is nice is when he was first recruited, I think he was the first commit of this class. Yeah. Oh, he's a State College kid.
Throwing him a bone.
Yeah, that
but,
type of thing.
I think they knew exactly
quietly,
what they were doing.
He had an incredible great senior season, and he got bumped up in the star ranking. So it's not just the Penn State coaching staff who saw this. The Penn State coaching staff may have just been ahead of the curve on this one.
Every indication I get, I think if he continues to develop, is they're prepping him absolutely to play in some role this year in the fall, and that's a great sign.
It definitely is. One last topic. Is Antonio Shelton ready to become a starting defensive tackle?
He's a weight room warrior for them. I know he was last year. He was this year. The opening is there. They need a three technique. He was the guy, I think, when Windsor didn't play in the bowl game, that actually, I believe, started at nose tackle. So I think he's got the strength and maybe the quickness to play both positions, and that only enhances his value. To me, he's got an experience edge on PJ Mustafer, so Mustafer's got to catch up to him. I think Mustafer physically might be a little bit more gifted but lacks experience, but I think you're going to see a lot of those too. And right now, the pecking order, if you remember what Penn State did with Curtis Cothran and Kevin Givens, it could be a combination like that at the three technique this year.
All right. That's it for quarter number two, the Keystone Kickoff Show. Stay tuned. Quarter number three, we're going to Ask Bob.
This is where the temperatures are unkind. This is where water freezes in the blink of an eye. This is where the wind bites harder than a mid-ice cross-check. This is where the beer is always on ice. This is Labatt Hockey, played the way Mother Nature intended. Labatt Blue is proud to support pond hockey and all the hardy souls that like to play it cool. This is Labatt Hockey.
Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right, GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.